We're all set.
Numbers are all moving. We're good to go. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Linda Teodosio, and as president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, it's certainly my pleasure to welcome you to today's program. Before we get started, just a reminder, if you do have a cell phone, if you could either turn that off or silence it or put it on vibrate so that we can all enjoy today's talk, that would be wonderful. Our topic for today is Bridges Out of Poverty in Summit County, Hope for the Poor and for Us. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce Judy DiNardo, President of Catholic Commission of Summit County, who will give our invocation. Judy?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Judge Teodosio on being one of four people in a national meeting in Washington, D.C., discussing innovations in the juvenile justice system. So, congratulations to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Tilt the scales, O God, of the mustard seed, that the poor shall see justice. Share the feast, O God, of Eden's abundant garden, that each crop may fetch a fair price. Upset the tables, O God, of the upside-down kingdom, that the least can benefit from their trade. Open our eyes, O God of life in all its fullness, that we may learn to walk the way of your Son. Tilting, sharing, upsetting this world, not satisfied until the products we bring to our table give a better deal to all who hunger for one. In his name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce someone who I think knows our speaker fairly well, to introduce her and her talk today. It's my pleasure to introduce Don Finn, who will introduce our speaker.
Yes, Linda, I've heard of her. Kathleen McGee Finn is a child of Northeast Ohio. She was born in Cleveland and raised in Independence. She was nurtured in a loving extended family who immersed her in goodness, beauty, and truth. She enjoyed frequent family gatherings and celebrations with this extended family, working together and growing and canning much of their own food on their small family farm, and playing in the woods, hiking, going on camping and fishing trips, and even excursions to explore the national forests. Her life was also given opportunities to experience music, art, and dance, and all this was integrated by being engaged in an active church community. As an excellent student, she earned academic degrees. A bachelor's degree in social work from Cleveland State University, a master's degree in social service administration from the University of Chicago, and a PhD in applied social sciences from Case Western Reserve, where she wrote her dissertation on empowerment, studying those families in Summit County who had received Habitat from Humanity houses. Throughout her adult life, Kathy has had a passion to understand those who were less advantaged than her. And this has led her to regularly go beyond the books into the inner city neighborhoods to experience life in the company of her low-income sisters and brothers. Kathy has held a variety of social service positions in our community. And a year ago, she retired from Akron Metropolitan Housing Authority, where she led the Bridges Out of Poverty initiatives. She now spends a good deal of her time lovingly sandwiched between an energetic granddaughter and struggling aging parents. Speaking to us today on Bridges Out of Poverty, please welcome Kathy Finn.
Thank you. I have to pay him back for that, I'm sure. I'm going to start off by announcing that I'm going to break the rules right off the bat by using my phone to help me time this speech, so please excuse. And because of nerves, I'm pressing the wrong buttons. Okay, here we go. I'm so pleased to be here today and to share with you the excitement I feel for Bridges Out of Poverty, which is sort of a phenomenon in Summit County right now. It, I believe, offers us an opportunity for enlightenment and community enhancement to be part of this program. Right now, poverty is kind of hot. Bridges Out of Poverty is kind of a hot social program in the community, maybe not as hot as World of Golf. I didn't see, you know, the little signs in the expressway this way to Fur Hill. But anyhow, happy to have you all here showing your interest and support. I'd like to share with you a bit about my experience with the Bridges Out of Poverty program and sort of personal reflections. You know, you do this after you retire, you reflect a lot on change and poverty, what I've seen over the last 40 years as I've been involved in this field, and also about the faith-building elements of the kind of poverty work I've experienced. I am so thankful and pleased to be able to say this, that our new Pope is now bringing the call forth to recognize the issue of poverty as a huge concern of our faith. Let me start by saying that although I was actively involved in the startup of Summit County Bridges Out of Poverty and developing the poverty simulation and some other opportunities for low-income residents in Summit County to advance their lives and contribute to the community, I've now been retired for 13 months. And many changes, I'm counting every minute, many changes have occurred in the Bridges Out of Poverty program since I've left, and some of the leadership has changed. So there are flyers on your tables. If you're interested in following up, I just refer you to those flyers. There are events coming up, ways to get more information if you care to. It was my church background, particularly missionaries that used to come to the church I grew up in, that really inspired me to become interested in poverty and injustice at an early age. I just kind of really wanted to do that kind of work, and I never ended up in, you know, Africa or some exotic place, but you know, you don't have to go too far from here to find some pretty exotic places in Akron. After decades of education and work with a variety of government and private and nonprofit organizations, working with homeless people and people who were addicted, battered women, public housing residents, did a little stint with migrant workers in Michigan, over and over and over again, I've been personally impressed with how much social work is about social control. We as a society are concerned about the poor, yes, because we feel compassion, but also because we're trying to figure out why these people don't follow the rules. And, you know, why aren't they working? Why aren't they dressing appropriately? Why don't they talk like us, or drive cars like us, or keep their homes like us? And, you know, even further, why should we be spending our tax money to provide food or housing or employment opportunities to people who won't follow the rules? So I know that isn't, you know, necessarily the first thing they teach you in social work school, but I also know that many people in education and human services and in the courts really do care about people, but it's a point of stress and concern that we always have to balance out the rules and the processes and the paperwork with the elements that concern rights and justice, and that oftentimes the bureaucracy end of things wins the struggle. So that has been a continuous source of tension in my life over all these years. However, on the other side, role models that we hold up in our lives, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Dorothy Day, Jesus Christ, were pretty good at shaking up the system and tossing the rules aside when it became necessary. And when one mingles with the wrong people, empowers the disempowered and shakes things up, sometimes there's a personal price to pay for that. If we're sincere about this, we've got to be willing to pay the personal price, whether it's taxes, time, talents, discomfort. We need to address that in our own lives. Now, Bridges Out of Poverty is a secular institution-based program. Not affiliated with any particular church, not affiliated with the government, but a coalition of organizations in Summit County that is an opportunity for all of us to reach out to the empowered people in the community and join together to develop a better community. It's about change in our community at a multiplicity of levels. For people in poverty and for people who've become estranged from the hard realities of poverty. Bridges Out of Poverty, if, you know, not on the front page of their booklets, but, you know, if you read between the lines, is a call to be Christ to one another. Bridges Out of Poverty began over a decade ago as a training program for school teachers who were working in inner city schools and needed to understand how to work with children and family from poverty. It's grown into a national, international initiative that addresses not only the situation in schools, but has been used as a training curriculum for organizations that have employees or clients who are from poverty. It's almost become a social movement. It has no nationally organized funding. And in Summit County, we have dozens of organizations that are using Bridges Out of Poverty in a variety of different ways, including the court system, the educational system, some of the hospitals, and many churches and organizations are using this as a training program for their neighborhood outreach program. So lots of opportunities to adapt this to fit local needs. How many of you have heard Ruby Payne, the founder of Bridges Out of Poverty, speak here locally? She was at the Power of the Purse luncheon in June, and she was in Canton a couple years back. She's from this area. She's the person who created Bridges Out of Poverty. How many of you have attended a Bridges Out of Poverty workshop here in the community? Great. Okay, well, I'm not going to go over all the content and details that are in those kind of things, but talk more general about Bridges. Bridges uses a variety of formats to explain its key messages. There are a couple of classroom-type workshops where the intention is to educate people about poverty and possible solutions with the expectation that people will individually change their thinking about poverty, whether they're in poverty or whether they're in middle class. Getting Ahead is the name of the program that the low-income area residents go through. It's a 36-hour workshop extended over a period of several weeks or months, kind of a college-level class with books and homework and discussion questions and that kind of thing. We've had probably 500 people in the Akron area go through that program through the official Bridges Out of Poverty initiative. There's also some half-day and whole-day workshops that go out to churches and institutions. There have been some things at Open M for people interested who aren't in poverty, interested in learning about poverty. There's something called a poverty simulation. Anybody here done the poverty simulation? Quite an interesting experience if you haven't had an opportunity. It's a role reversal where middle-income people play the roles of poor people in the Akron area, and our Getting Ahead graduates play the role of institutions in the community. We actually tailored this experience to Summit County, so our low-income residents went out to the different service programs, collected applications, criteria for participation, benefit levels, and those kind of things, and we created a simulation of what it actually is like in Summit County to try to get some of these things. It'll drive you crazy, you'll have a good time, but you know, you'll remember an experience like this. So if you're interested, they can go to churches and in groups. Good thing for teenagers as well. Check that out. What makes Bridges unique to me among the poverty programs I've been involved in over the years is its holistic approach. Bridges emphasizes that poverty is an individual issue, but also recognizes that it's a community and institutional issue and a national policy economic issue. At the individual level, there are cultural aspects that need to be addressed, like speech patterns, life in crisis, lack of planning, support systems, a variety of things. And we talk with our low-income residents about, you know, how they need to be aware that certain behaviors keep them from becoming integrated into middle-class society. One important element is social networks. For instance, in poverty, people in poverty are usually surrounded by other people in poverty. They live in poor neighborhoods. They work with low-income people. Their friends and relatives are in poverty. So when someone gets a job or even a disability check, people surrounding them impose on them to share the wealth. Maintaining the relationships with their friends and family might include supporting the friends and family when they need a car repaired or need to buy medicine or pay for school supplies for their kids, food, whatever. In order to get ahead, however, sometimes people need to sever or control these relationships so that their work can profit them and they can take the next step forward. So we talk about this in Bridges. And this is something that needs to be worked out at an individual level. When people in the Getting Ahead program get together, they start to realize that I'm not the only one who has this problem. All the other people at the table have this problem too, and they can become a support system for each other. Support system aimed at getting ahead, not staying in place in poverty. In the middle class, we also have some individual things that we need to work on, like our expectations of what poor people ought to be doing or what behaviors we expect to see in meetings at workplaces, that kind of thing. For instance, we may expect that when we encounter an associate, somebody we know from work or church or whatever, in the parking lot at Walmart, that, you know, we'll be able to say, hi, how are you, how's the family, you know, chit-chat a little bit, nice to see you, and go on our way. We do not expect somebody to be jumping up and down, waving their hands, calling their name across the parking lot, and then telling you every detail of their last 24 hours, which might be the way this is handled in a poverty situation. So part of the obligation on the part of the middle class is to work with people in poverty to understand the expectations, the appropriate behaviors in appropriate situations. If they don't know the rules, they can't follow the rules. Bridges Out of Poverty has huge educational elements on hidden rules that we impose on people in poverty and then, you know, get upset when they don't follow them, but we never tell them what the rules are. So there's a lot of education in that element, Bridges Out of Poverty. However, there's more than just individual behavior that needs to be worked on. At a community level, there are lots of barriers and obstacles to progress out of poverty. A huge example for almost every person in poverty is transportation. And I tell you a story about, at least one person who's had, you know, her life affected by lack of transportation. Betty was a single parent of a kindergartner in a suburban school district here in Summit County. And even though she prepared her child to go to kindergarten, sent the child to preschool, got books out of the library, her house was littered with things she got off the internet and flashcards and little games and things like that, her child, when she started kindergarten, had serious adjustment problems and was hitting, disrupting, refusing to participate in the classroom. Even though she was able to meet the work requirements of the class and understood at an appropriate level, you know, the assignments involved in kindergarten. The teacher was also unprepared to handle this and resorted to punishment that included exclusion from fun classroom activities like story time, birthday parties, gym, lunch. Child was banned from participating for these things because the teacher couldn't handle the child. Parent-teacher conferences were requested of the mom, come into the school, observe your child, work with the school, but the closest bus to the school had a stop a mile from the school. Mom didn't have a car. She also had health problems that prohibited her from walking a mile from the bus to the school or from her apartment to the bus stop. Also, she's in poverty. Her phone's disconnected often. Her email's address keeps changing. You know, difficult to get her engaged in this, even though she was very interested in the situation and called for help. She became labeled an uncooperative parent. Eventually, about 6 months into the school year, she was scheduled to start parenting classes at a downtown agency in the evening. It was a two-hour bus ride. Kid came home from the bus after school. They got on the bus. They ate dinner on the bus, tried to get some homework or studying done on the bus, and got downtown to the agency to attend the parenting classes. But when the parenting classes were over at 8 p.m., there was no bus service back home. So she had to apply for a special taxi program to assist with something like this, and she was able to get the taxi assistance. However, the taxi program only allowed so many rides per year. And before the program ended, her taxi program ran out of opportunities for her. She had no choice. She had to drop out of the program. And because of that, was labeled again uncooperative and banned from entering further parenting classes in the future. Access to transportation could have made this whole situation work out extremely differently. And, you know, how often do you see that as an issue in the newspaper that our community should be concerned about? Also, lack of transportation provokes another community level issue, which is predators. Several years ago, I was working with a single mom with four kids living in public housing, working, going to school, trying to advance her life. She had no car, needed a car. I happened to be shopping for a brand new car at the time and got myself my little Honda Fit that I love, a cheap little scaled down car. She got a 10-year-old car with 100,000 miles or more on it, and her payments were $100 a month more than mine. Most likely her payments outlived her car. 28% interest on her loan. Okay. She did everything to keep that car, and she was able to keep that car until she got herself a full-time job with benefits and was able to step herself up. But she even quit smoking. That's how badly she wanted that car. Yay for her. But often, you know, it doesn't turn out that well. The cars end up being repossessed, and then, you know, another black mark on the credit history, and there you go, next time is 30% interest. There are a lot of community issues that provide barriers to people getting out of poverty. Transportation, housing, lack of access to healthy, fresh food, high crime. In many high poverty neighborhoods, you know, summertime, time for the kids to go out and play and have a good time, go to the pools, play in the street. Parents keep their kids indoors all summer long because they're afraid to let them out in the neighborhoods they live in. They don't want them engaging with some of the people in their neighborhood. No wonder kids end up not having social skills when they enter school if they're being kept in like this. Another housing example, in Barberton I worked with a grandmother who was raising two grandchildren. In a private rental. She lived on the third floor of a multifamily house. Couldn't keep up with her utility payments because there was a hole in the roof and it was snowing inside her apartment. She had a one-bedroom apartment. The two kids slept in the bedroom. She slept in the couch. There was snow in the bedroom. By the time I found out about it, you know, she was having her utilities cut off. She was at the point of being evicted. And we did call, you know, the local housing people, and they did eventually have the property condemned. But in the meantime, all the families in that house had to come up with new utility deposits, new rent deposits, go live somewhere else. They were not compensated. The house was condemned. But, you know, here's another unexpected hurdle in their lives. No single person in poverty has the power, the resources, or the wherewithal to fight these community level battles. They need advocates, partners, persons in groups who can help them navigate the system, speak clearly, make a point about the barriers they're encountering in the community. And most of the time, the professionals in the community are not going to get involved in that kind of activity. You know, it isn't in their job description. They're publicly funded or funded by organizations, donors in the community. They don't want the uncomfortable position of being in a power challenge in the community, so they just back off from that kind of stuff. We really need people in this community who can stand up and assist low-income people to get their rights, not be abused by predators and deficiencies in the system. Lots of times I've found that after people go through an episode like this, they're very frustrated, they're very disappointed with how the system failed to support them or work for them despite the promises. And, you know, then when we see low-income people who are angry, who refuse to participate, who sort of don't buy in 100% to the opportunities we're offering them, it's no wonder. It's no wonder in many cases that people become discouraged. So just by being there with them, going to the meeting, showing up in court with them, offering people support and encouragement, even if it appears on the surface they're failing, that's a tremendous service to the people in this community who are trying very hard to change their lives. At the policy level, you know, we also realize there are a lot of things that we can't control locally. The economy being one of them, jobs being one of them, perhaps. In a May 2013 article in the Columbus Dispatch, it noted that in the state of Ohio, nowhere can a single person afford very basic food, housing, health care, transportation, and child care while earning the state's $7.85 per hour minimum wage. Nowhere in the state. Not just, you know, rural areas where we think it's cheaper or whatever. Nowhere in the state can somebody get by, a single parent with a kid, $7.85 an hour. So, despite doing everything right, going through training programs, dressing appropriately, showing up on time, you're still not going to make it. You're just not. It's not necessarily the person's fault that they're on public assistance. They've got to eat. A single mom with a preschooler, according to this report, would need a full-time working wage of $18.76 per hour to fully support her family without any outside assistance. Thank God for the Catholic Commission and organizations like that that, you know, pay attention to these kind of issues and occasionally raise the flag that we need to do something. We need a lot more people supporting the Catholic Commission and a lot more people engaged in those kind of activities. But, you know, even so, having the Catholic Commission around doesn't take us off the hook for individual policy change. We're voters. We're on boards. We're on committees. We're parts of churches and organizations in the community, and we should demonstrate our concern about poverty-related issues such as health care, food assistance, education, with at least as much vigor as we show our concern about our tax rates. Again, you don't see those concerns being aired in the local papers. Speaking of hooks and fishes and fish stories, let me check my time. Remember the old adage about changing poverty? Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat forever. Which, by the way, is not biblical, even though it talks about fishing. This is an individualistic social program approach to poverty. We can teach people how to fish, or dress, or hold down technical jobs, or speak, or whatever. But that's not the answer to the problem. What this adage overlooks is the community and policy end of things. If we have 100 people in poverty that we train very well how to fish, and we give them all fishing poles and bait and boots and all the stuff they need, and we drive them to the lake, but the lake is polluted and there's only 3 fish in there, despite all the best efforts, nothing's going to change their poverty. Training and motivational programs are inadequate when you look at it at a higher level. Bridges Out of Poverty holds the potential for teaching the poor and middle class partners to fish by building resources in the community, teaching people where the different programs are where they can get training or clothing or skills. But what's really needed in this program, and is the intention of the program ultimately, is to address community and policy level changes. Decisions are often made in meetings, and communications are often by mail or by email, and that itself is a barrier for participation of the poor, who often don't have telephone service or email service, and are not accustomed to the sort of culture of going to meetings. So they make mistakes. They bring children to meetings. They arrive late and leave early because they've got a bus schedule to follow. They might not dress professionally or speak professionally. we need to forgive and encourage people to participate, regardless of their children or their lateness. We need to invite low-income people to be at the table when decisions are being made about programs and directions, and we need to listen to them. Having them there and being silent is like not having them there at all. We must be willing to hear criticism from low-income people and suggestions on how to make the system better. As Pope Francis said on his recent trip to Brazil, we need to shake things up. In order to be empowered, people have to feel empowered. Simply deciding this checklist of things they have to do to get whatever service you're providing is not empowering. They need to be listened to. The poor are the people most experienced in what it's like to look for a job when you have a criminal record, what it's like to have an inflexible work schedule and deal with childcare and public transportation, what it's like to be shut down time and time and time again. I have an example here that some people might feel uncomfortable with, but I'm going to say it anyhow because that's me. In Akron, we have a program called Leadership Akron. This is for future community leaders to learn about community problems and programs. Oftentimes, these are people in business or upper levels of social service. They're expected to contribute back to the community when they graduate the Leadership Akron program. We also have a program called Neighborhood Leadership Program, where people in poverty discuss community issues and get training to deal with community issues from their perspective. And they're expected as well to give back to the community and become involved in things. Several of our Getting Ahead grads who are in the room here today have participated in that program. If we truly want to engage potential leaders in this community and address local concerns, why are these two groups meeting separately? Couldn't we maybe put them in the room together and listen to each other and come up with something that doesn't say, okay, poor people, you work in your neighborhoods and we'll work in ours? Separate but equal really hasn't worked for decades. There were riots about that when I was young. I'd like to introduce you to some Bridges Out of Poverty participants who are in the room today. These people have been involved for several years. They're sitting at a couple people sitting at your tables with you. These folks are the salt of the earth. Love them to death. They've been teenage parents, perhaps, school dropouts, addicts, criminals. And there's a lot of reasons to reject them, if you're so inclined. But their relationship with God is so powerful and so inspiring. Their neighbors, parents, on school committees, all that kind of stuff. But yet, they don't get the recognition or the engagement that many of us are entitled to in this community. My Bridges Out of Poverty friends and I have been on a wonderful journey together, and I'm so thankful to have them in my life. I'd like to introduce Trina, who is a Getting Ahead graduate. I met her 4 years ago, and I think she's just, one example of what can happen in 4 years by engaging in the Bridges Out of Poverty program. So she's going to say a few words.
Hello, everyone. My name is Trina Owens, and I'm a Bridges Out of Poverty graduate. Can you hear me? Bridges Out of Poverty graduate, and I learned about. I'm a Bridges Out of Poverty graduate, and I learned about Bridges Out of Poverty from a newsletter. I live in AMHA. I was reading one day, and it said they had a class called Bridges Out of Poverty, and it was a $200 incentive. That's what first caught my eye. So I could use that. And so I attended the class, and on the very first day, I forgot about the incentive. I was very inspired by it, and I knew I was learning things to get out of poverty, and it just made me feel wonderful, and I just knew, and with the help of God, that I was going to make it, and I could better myself. I just didn't know how, but after this class, I did. I learned about hidden rules. I learned about the hidden rules and resources, and also about roadblocks. And I've had many, but you can't let those get in your way. You have to keep on pushing. And And after the class, I got involved with volunteering in the poverty simulation. So I got into that, and I did one. It was really nice. And then after that, I participated in about six of them. And it was very enlightening. And let's see. I also volunteered for AMHA, and they recommended me for the United Way Leadership Program. I graduated from there in 2012, and we got a garden project going on, and we're doing like gardens. I have two that I work in, and we grow fresh vegetables. And even the corner store, that's from the National Leadership. And we have one of our corner stores selling fresh vegetables and fruit now for the neighborhood. And I also facilitated one of the classes, the Getting Ahead classes, back then. It was in, I forget what year it was, but it wasn't long ago, the Getting Ahead class. And, okay, after that, and we also have some cooking classes down there by our community gardens. We get food out of the garden, and we actually cook it, make meals, and give people recipes. And I also go to Stark State College, and I have to catch three buses there, but I go, and I'm going into my third semester, taking social work. I have health issues that sometimes gets in my way, but I keep pushing, and I think I'm doing very well. I'm doing things that I thought I'd never do, like stand up here and talk. So bear with me. And when I started the poverty program in 2009, like I said, I never thought I'd be up here talking to anyone, but it has really enhanced my life, and I'm doing things that I thought I'd never do. And I know, and I've gotten out of poverty, and it's a very good program. It really helped me a lot. And I'm not gonna stop at this point. I'm gonna keep on volunteering and going to school. And everybody pray for me. But the next time I get up here, I wanna stamp her a little bit. I'm sorry. And I just wanna thank you for letting me talk to you. If you have any questions, you can ask me out there individually if you like.
Okay, I'm going to move ahead with just some inspirations from Franciscan Father Richard Rohr, who many of you might be aware of. Don's been reading meditations and forcing me to read them. but I like them. Recently started on the Falling Upward book. So I'd like to just read you this quote from his book. "Those at the edge of any system and those excluded from any system ironically and invariably hold the secret for conversion and wholeness of the system. They also hold the feared, rejected, and denied parts of the system or group's soul." Okay, so when we think of system, let's think education, justice, variety of different things, addiction. Those at the edge of any system and those excluded from any system ironically and invariably hold the secret for the conversion and wholeness of that system. They also hold the feared, rejected, and denied parts of the system. When Jesus recommended that we engage with and walk side by side with excluded people, it wasn't just to be nice. It's because this is the path to discovering our own souls. In his book, Falling Upward, Richard Rohr said that during the first half of your life, and this is predominantly in middle class, the focus is on upward mobility, goals, achievement, plans, milestones. Then you get to be, you know, old, happens to everybody, and you suddenly discover that a lot of the gods you chased were illusions, that you aren't as smart or as able or as perfect as you thought you were. In poverty, the realization of impossible dreams and abundant limitations can come early. Oftentimes in poverty, people are unforgiven and unwelcome. Think about Trayvon Martin. Thank God his mother was recently on TV saying, God is using us and our family. So through our vulnerability, we can develop ourselves and our closeness to our faith. One quick additional quote, and I'll shut up. AA Founders Day. I now go to those, thanks to Don, too. This year, the speaker at Founders Day, after a longer talk than I'm giving, quoted at the end, "Our gift is our addiction. Our salvation is our weakness." Knowing your vulnerabilities, knowing your fears, knowing the judgments and the kind of things that we all do, our sins, helps us to reach out and understand other people and understand that we aren't perfect either. If we want to build the kingdom of God in Akron, Ohio, we've got to change some things. And we've got to listen to the poor and vulnerable people in this community. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Kathy for that wonderful talk and Trina for her contribution to the day. It really made it very special. And as I was sitting and listening, I really think about how blessed we are to have both Kathy and Don in our community, the fine work that they do in their respective fields to really make our community a better place to live. So thank you for sharing a little bit about Bridges Out of Poverty with us. I was fortunate enough myself to participate in a poverty simulation and to learn about some of the rules that are different between the classes. And if you ever have an opportunity to do that, I would really highly recommend it. It's really a lesson not only about poverty, but a lesson about yourself. And it really helps you look at the world through a different lens. And I think it's really something that's very powerful. And even though it's not a faith-based organization, I think it really empowers folks to be able to live the faith that they really believe through really practical ways. So thank you so much for sharing that with us here today, Kathy. Before we bring her up for a few questions, and if we can convince Trina to answer a few too, if anybody has some for her, I do have a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club luncheon will be on Friday, September the 6th, 2013, here at the Martin University Center, located at 105 Fir Hill in Akron, and will feature Father Thomas Acker, assistant to the Bishop for Special Projects in the Youngstown Diocese, and administrator of St. Joseph Parish in Randolph, and his topic will be What Makes Us Human. Please make your reservations for all First Friday Club luncheons by the Tuesday prior to the Friday event and by sending a check for $15 to the First Friday Club of Greater Akron at 795 Russell Avenue in Akron, 44317. The phone number is 330-535-6886,
And there's more information at the website at www.firstfridayclubofgreaterakron.org. It's also on the brochures on your table. I encourage you to take one with you. In addition, there's some information about our upcoming luncheons. You can see in October, Bishop Lennon will be joining us again, and there are many other worthwhile programs coming up the balance of the year. Now, if you don't remember anything else I say in the announcements today, this is something that's important to remember. There have been some changes with the Martin University Center. During a recent storm, there was some damage, and so September will be the last month that we will be meeting here at the Martin University Center. We will likely be gathering at one of the locations near Quaker Square, either in the Quaker Station, or in the ballroom. You should watch the website for details. We'll post it ahead of time, but it will be at the Quaker Square location beginning in October. So we'll be here next month. After that, we'll switch, and hopefully by the time this year ends, we'll have a permanent location that we'll be able to advise you. We had expected to be here through the remainder of the year, but the damages to the facility will make that impossible. In addition, if you provide your email address, we will do our very best to send out an email reminder blast to those of you who provide us with that information on a card so that you can receive that information as far as where we will be. So be patient with us as we work through this. We'll continue to bring you wonderful speakers like the one you heard today. In addition, you can hear a podcast of all of our previous First Friday Club presentations by getting on our website at firstfridayclubofgreaterakron.org. You might also want to recommend it to shut-ins or folks that were unable to join us today to share the wonderful presentation that we had today. And I neglected to do the thing I was supposed to do first, and that is to say, if you have questions, write them down on the question card. Do we have some questions here in the audience? And I see that we have several. Again, a reminder that in September will be Father Thomas Acker, October, Bishop Lennon, November, Brother David Andrews, who is an attorney and senior representative at Food and Water Watch, which should be an interesting talk for those of you interested in the environment. And finally, as we normally close out our year, I think it'll be a talk that none of you will want to miss, and that's John Allen from the National Catholic Reporter to give his views on, as he always does, on things happening at the Vatican. And with our new Pope, I think that will be quite the interesting presentation. I would encourage you to keep that day open on your calendar now. And I'm going to bring Kathy up, and maybe by the time we get her up here, we'll have some questions for her.
How can a parish that's already involved in many poverty outreach programs and already has many folks in poverty at the parish site become a center or a provider for Bridges Out of Poverty?
Wow, I love hearing questions like that. I am sure there are people... Why don't you stand up for a minute here? People here in the room involved in the Bridges Out of Poverty organization who can, you know, get your information and find a way to connect with you. You know, there's providing services to the poor like food and clothing and those kind of things. And then there's empowering people and helping them to deal with life in the greater community. And lots of times, you know, we think we've done it all when we pass out food and use clothing. And Bridges takes it another step further. So sometimes it's the way you pass out the food and the used clothing. It's the way you engage people. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that can be done. So I'm sure Bridges Initiative would be happy to hear from you. The handouts on the table have website and phone numbers and stuff to contact them.
Could you comment on how programs such as Head Starts have an impact on helping families get out of poverty? And further, how can our public schools make a more positive impact on our youth and help children to get out of the poverty cycle?
Well, I'm not sure we have enough time for that question. I think a lot of it, Head Start is tremendously valuable. We have people in this room who without Head Start would not be in college, would not be able to work, would have tremendous hurdles to overcome. And, you know, the schools the same way. But I think, you know, one of, and now I'm sounding like a real bureaucrat, but one of the things that keeps on holding us back is lack of resources for these kind of things. Funding for Head Start is being cut back. You know, the shape our schools are in, we can't always expect somebody else to do it. We can't always just say, I paid my taxes, I made my donations, and somebody else is going to watch out for the kids. You know, this is our community. And if we're concerned about the schools, we need to be in the schools. We need to be there with parents who are trying to negotiate a success plan for their child. And we need to start making those connections.
She volunteered, so this is one for Trina. What's the most important part of Bridges that has helped you?
The most part of Bridges that helped me is the close connection, the resources, and the very nice middle class people I've met. And they've really taught me how to deal with every aspect of life now. When in the past, I really didn't know how. I thought everybody was against me, but there are people out there to help me. It makes me want to better my life for me and my son. And going to college, that, you know, that's inspiring to me. Is that, that's the only one?
Are there parenting classes available for mothers of children 0 to 3 years old?
I'm sure there are, but I really don't have information on that kind of thing. There are, you know, preschool programs and Head Start type programs. I'm not sure how much they get involved in parenting. I know there are some services in Summit County that do parenting classes. But again, I would refer you to InfoLine to find out about that. You know, the other difficulty is if people have transportation and resources to participate in these kind of things. One of the things I've found so frustrating is that we fail to understand that single parents with kids in school are damned if they do, damned if they don't. They have to be there when their kids get on the school buses. Particularly if you live in a poverty neighborhood, you don't want to just say bye and have your kid walk out into who knows what. And they need to be there when the kids get off the school buses. And so if we schedule their appointments and the programs they need to participate in at 3 in the afternoon, they're not going to come. They want to be home for their children. We want them to be home for their children. If they aren't home for their children, they're going to be in trouble. But on the other hand, you know, we need as a community to be conscious of some of the barriers and restrictions that we set up ourselves to make it possible for people to participate in things like that without 20 hurdles to jump.
By the way, First Glance in Kenmore is a really good program for single parents with little ones. What kept you going when you saw so much sadness, discouragement with the people that you worked with?
Well, people who know me know I get a little frustrated and kind of yell and scream a little bit once in a while. But that's not what keeps me going. I think, you know, the faith community here in Akron has just been so strong and so inspirational that, you know, you just have to accept things are going to be uncomfortable. You're going to lay awake at night sometime, and you're not going to see answers to every question, and you just got to keep on trying. But I think that's what we're called to do. The other side is, you know, people like Trina. You know, you see the reward. You see what planting a seed on fertile soil can bring. And, you know, it's just a cause for celebration. So, you know, we have our ups and downs a lot.
I'm guessing we might have someone here from Cuyahoga County, and they just want to know, are there programs similar to this or this program in Cuyahoga County that you know of?
I don't know. Bridges Out of Poverty is a national organization. They have a website called AHA, A-H-A, process.org, or is it com? I think it's org. Anyhow, you can get, it's a fabulous website, and you can find out about their instructional booklets, workshops, training programs, communities that have similar programs. Based on what I know, Bridges Out of Poverty has taken hold more in rural communities than in urban communities. And I think maybe because of the lack of resources in rural communities, and lots of times just one agency is sponsoring it in a rural community, like a community action agency or United Way, where in the urban communities we have so many programs and organizations to bring into the collaboration. That's one of the things Summit County struggles with is, you know, how do you get everybody on the same page in the same room at the same time and talk about what we need to talk about? So I'm kind of guessing Cleveland doesn't. We haven't heard about it. Canton has a program, however. Thank you. Thank you again for that wonderful presentation. I just want to mention about the parenting classes 0 to 3. The old Catholic Social Services, whatever it's called now, do you still all have parenting classes?
Help Me Grow
program. Help Me Grow. And then I know that Greenleaf, Family Services, Child Guidance and Family Solutions, Community Health Center, Akron Pregnancy Center, or other places that have parenting programs. And just to put a plug in for the courts, Juvenile Courts Family Resource Center, if you do know someone that's interested in that, they can tell them which is closest to them, what the requirements are, and give them some assistance in getting there. So just to keep that in mind for whoever asked that question. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Karen Leith, Director of the Catholic Commission of Summit County, who will lead us at our closing prayer.
Thank you, Linda. Lord God, creator of all, you created us in your image. You created us to be your presence in the here and now. You love us all, seeing our value and dignity. Help us see with your eyes and your heart. Guide us in breaking down the walls we have built. Language walls, education walls, neighborhood walls, walls built of myths and misunderstandings. Inspire us to build bridges instead. Lord God, Redeemer of all, you freely saved all of us. You call us to be your disciples of love. Guide us in reaching out with bridges of love and understanding. Let those bridges be based on your saving grace, freely given with compassion as the foundation, with the understanding that what we see as differences are our constructs to be reconstructed. Let us build those bridges with the common ground of your saving love. Lord God, wisdom herself, your grace is so freely given to all. You call us to just be open to your inspiration. Inspire us in ways that empower others to find their own dignity, to find paths out of poverty, to understand their worthiness. Guide us in walking as companions on the journey. Teach us how to be supportive and encouraging. Give us listening hearts willing to learn vulnerability. grants us courage to not fix problems, but empower solutions. We ask this in your name, O Triune God. Amen.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you, everyone, for your patience today. We went a little bit longer than what we normally do, but it was certainly a wonderful topic and worth hearing about, and we appreciate so much everyone being here. Have a great weekend. We hope to see you next month.